Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Wednesday. I almost forgot what day it is. Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. 24-24. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Matt Baxendale in just a moment. We're going to talk a lot about Ohio State's quarterback situation on today's show. Do we feel like Will Howard is definitely QB1? If so, what are our expectations for Will Howard this fall? Assuming he is QB1, we think somebody's going to transfer, right? I mean, hopefully all five stick around, but if somebody does transfer, who is the most likely to transfer? Looking ahead at quarterbacks, Tavian St. Clair continues to just impress everywhere he goes. I mean, it's just like everything he does, he takes like another step. It's just, it's been so much fun watching that. You know, when the Buckeyes got him after his sophomore year, he was 4-star. I think somebody even had him as a 3-star. Now he is the number 2 quarterback in the country, number 6 overall player in the nation. So love that. Will Ohio State add an offensive tackle in the portal? Bax and I are going to get into that. We're going to get into offensive, hopefully they add an offensive lineman. We'll see about that, but Bax and I are going to get into that. Malik Nabers is getting a lot of helium over Marvin Harrison Jr., and people are talking about the underwear Olympics, and all of a sudden Marvin's stock is allegedly dropping. I'm not really buying it, so we're going to get into all of that stuff. Before we do that, I'm going to let you know about the great deal you guys can get from Omaha Steaks. All their stuff is great. They've got this premium burger pack that you guys got to check out. Nothing says summer like the taste of juicy, tender burgers grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouthwatering steak burgers. So you get 4 each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. Awesome. Omaha Steaks pure ground burgers deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. And right now you can experience the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Get ready for grilling season with the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. That's 20 mouthwatering pure ground burgers for just $79.99. I'm going to go over this again. So you get 4 each of filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. So each of those burgers, $4 each. Pretty nice with the cost of meat out there. And these are like gourmet, fantastic. I mean, filet mignon burgers. Love it. All right, let's get into it with my guy Bax. You guys buy some Omaha Steaks. All right, Bax. Look at you, man, styling. I'm guessing your son has hockey and you're out in the hockey parking lot. Is that a good guess?
It's a pretty reasonable guess. It's the usual thing for us at this point in time.
Hey, it's going to pay off one day, man. When he's playing for the Blue Jackets, it's going to pay off. Or the Buckeyes, then Blue Jackets, hopefully.
He's not going to go straight to
the pros, is he? He's going to go to Ohio State then?
I think I would settle for any of the above would be beyond my wildest expectations.
Let's start with this. Now, unless you're in a disagreement that Will Howard is very likely the starting quarterback for this team, what are your expectations for? And if you disagree, that's get into that. But if you agree he is QB1, what are your expectations for him this fall?
I think he's going to be QB1. That was my vibe coming out of the spring game. Is he just looks a little more in control. He and Brown were way ahead of the young guys, and that's to be expected, I would say. My expectation is he's going to bring a running element to the team that maybe we didn't have last year at all. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to get out of the pocket, pick up 5-10 yards on the ground, kind of keep the sticks moving. You know, he doesn't have to be CJ Stroud or Justin Fields. He doesn't have to. He can be a perfectly capable guy that gets the ball in the hand of his playmakers, keeps us on schedule on a lot of the plays, provides a running threat, protects the football. You know, and there's nothing wrong with a guy like that. And I think that that's what we're going to probably see from him, is a guy that maybe doesn't turn it over a lot, maybe doesn't make a couple monster plays, but is consistently making the right play. And that's really all we need from him in this offense, especially the way that they're trying to set up this running game to sort of have Q and Trey run the day, if you will. So I expect him to be a significant component in the running game, and I expect him to be the classical manager type versus trying to do anything too crazy like a CJ or a Justin Fields would have.
Yeah, I was saying this on Monday's show. I've been watching a lot more film, both of his Kansas State days and then just the, you know, the spring game, kind of breaking that down. I love the way he moves in the pocket. It's very subtle, but he just does what a quarterback needs to do. Moves up, shuffles his feet very nice. You know, and for a right-handed quarterback, when you shuffle your feet to the left and then you're throwing across your body, he does a good job with that. He's one of these guys where, like, that stuff doesn't show up when you're out there and you can get a hand on him and he's considered down. But, like, once the lights come on, you actually have to tackle this guy. And he has excellent pocket presence. He doesn't get rattled. And he knows just how to just subtly move his feet a little bit. That's so huge. Footwork is so huge as a quarterback. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Now, this is going to be tougher to be first-team All-Big Ten. My expectation is first-team All-Big Ten for Will Howard. Now, if he gets to New York as a finalist, that's great. I'm not putting that – I don't even really care about the Heisman. If he's first-team All-Big Ten with this defense, the weapons around him, Ohio State, I mean, they're going to be so damn tough to beat. And I agree with you. He's going to run the ball, bring that element. I expect first-team All-Big Ten, and it won't be easy. You got to beat out now Oregon's quarter, Dylan Gabriel. You know, USC's going to have that kid that looked really good in their bowl game. He's now going to – and he's playing in a Lincoln Riley offense. It's going to be tough for whoever's taking over at Washington. I can't think of anybody in the returning teams in the Big Ten that I'm really concerned about that would be first-team All-Big Ten. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody.
Maybe Drew Aller. I could see Drew Aller having another step forward this year and being solid for Penn State. But other than that, no.
Yeah. So first-team All – are you with me? First-team All-Big Ten, is that what you think for Willie Howard?
I think he needs to be first team or second team if Dylan Gabriel has a huge year for Oregon. I mean, that's always a possibility that he goes out there. You know, he was pretty good last year at a pretty decent school already in Oklahoma. So going to Oregon and him putting up big numbers wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But I think Howard's results are going to be such that with the way the offense goes, how many opportunities he's going to have with his defense just feeding them the football in good field position, I have to think that he's going to be statistically in position to be the first team All Big Ten quarterback. But, you know, that's sort of a given in a lot of ways at Ohio State, is that your quarterback puts up big numbers. I mean, even last year with Kyle McCord, where we all were sitting there watching him going, he had a big statistical season, right? You know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. And Kyle McCord's stat line last year was pretty much the perfect example of that. So, I think Howard's going to put up good numbers. I think for us, though, we're going to know whether or not he's having a good season by do we stay on time on offense? Does he make plays outside the pocket? Does he protect the football? All that other statistical stuff will just come along naturally because he has so many weapons around him, because he's first team all Big Ten when it comes to guys that he can throw the ball and hand it to that can take it to the house. So,
and this offense, too. I mean, Ryan Day and Chip Kelly together. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. And it is the Chip Kelly offense. I mean, Day's talked about that. I mean, yeah, they're going to – obviously, Day's heavily involved. Day's not – just because we've seen what we've seen, because they've had nothing but first-round quarterbacks since Day's been here, other than McCord last year. You know, what we've seen is not necessarily what we're going to see this year. But I that's not just because Chip Kelly's here. It's a big reason. But Ryan Day's smart enough. He would have adjusted his offense knowing that they have to run the ball more this year. They've got two stud running backs. They're going to run the quarterback more. And Chip Kelly has showed – you know, he's going to run the quarterback. All right, let's get to this. I think Ryan Day is trying to do everything he can to keep all five scholarship quarterbacks. He wants to keep Devin Brown. I think he believes Will Howard is his guy. But I think he wants to keep Devin Brown. I think he really believes they're going to need both guys. Is that realistic, though? Especially, I don't even know if that would have been realistic 10 years ago. I would hope for it. Is that realistic in today's day and age where guys are transferring sometimes 3-4 times during a career?
Yeah, I mean, we had five quarterbacks on the roster back in the day, too. Like, you remember the year that Troy Smith came in at the last minute as the second quarterback with Justin Swick? You know, there it's not impossible back in the day to do.
They won the national championship. Oh, yeah, Scott McMullen, Krenzel. There's one that I'm forgetting. And then, yeah, the two freshmen, Zwick and Troy Smith. Yeah.
So it was a situation where you could do it. But at the end of the day, with what we're at right now, I think, first of all, Ryan Day wants to keep Devin Brown because he knows the other three aren't ready. Right? Devin Brown's at least close enough that you would be able to win some football games with him against good football teams if Will Howard has a significant injury. That's the biggest reason that you want Devin Brown is because the drop-off to Julian Sain and Lincoln Kienholz is notable after him. So that is the biggest reason that you want to keep Devin Brown. You want to keep him happy. You want to keep him here. You want to keep him competing. And then the reality, too, is there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him to play if OSU is as good as we think. So he'll get to play significant minutes. But at the end of the day, you have two guys right now that everybody feels comfortable with. Otherwise, you're rolling the dice on a freshman to be the guy under center with an otherwise national championship caliber team. So Devin Brown staying is critical for experienced depth. As for the other ones, I think Sain and Noland are going to stick around for the year. The big one that I was wondering about was Kienholz. We all heard the rumors about Iowa. The reality of the situation is this is the only year I can fathom us keeping all of them, because going into next spring, if Howard's the starter, you're going to have a competition multiple ways for the new starting quarterback role. And whoever doesn't succeed in that role, especially if it's, say, let's say Julian Sain wins the job, well, then Kienholz is older than him. Kienholz will go somewhere to play because he's good enough to play. The Iowa rumor, the reason a lot of us believed it is because it makes sense, because he's from South Dakota, not that far away, because Iowa really needs a good quarterback, because Kienholz would immediately be the best quarterback on that roster. There's a lot of reasons it makes sense.
They still have
He's a 1 year stopgap, and they're hoping Kienholz transfers if he doesn't right away. Let's put it that way.
He was hurt last year, so he'll be there 2 years total. But McNamara hurt last year at
Michigan too. You know,
Their first year were in 01 or 21. JJ was a true freshman that year.
They alternated guys for a couple games, and then McNamara got hurt, and JJ took over, and McNamara left. So.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think JJ just beat him out the next year. When JJ was a sophomore, he just beat him out.
I thought McNamara might have gotten hurt, but maybe not. I don't know. It all blends together at this point in the big miasma of cheating. But the end of the day, the situation is that if a guy like Kienholz gets beat out by a guy younger than him, he's going to leave. It's just a given, right? Because everybody wants to play. So I think you can maybe hold them for this year, and then after that, it's going to be a lot tougher. And that's just the reality of the modern quarterbacking situation, you know, is look at Will Howard came in, right? Kids are going to go out to get a chance to play somewhere too.
All right. OL and portal. It has to happen. I guess it doesn't have to.
It does.
I mean, they feel better about their offensive line clearly going into this season, even if they don't add anybody than last year. I mean, think about it. Last year, Luke Whippler leaving. Then they're trying to scramble. They didn't see that coming. They knew that Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones were leaving. They thought that was bad enough. Not bad, but they knew that was going to be enough. You're either replacing your bookends, both of whom are really good, by the way. DeJuan was starting for the Browns last year. I know it was because Conklin got hurt, but then DeJuan came in and was starting, but was playing really well, and he ended up getting hurt at the end of the year. But Paris Johnson had a really good rookie year, to the surprise of nobody. And then Whippler left. So now this year, you've got two guys that they can count on at center. Looks like Hinsman's going to be the right guard, though. But bringing McLaughlin in, I think that's good. Josh Simmons was such a – we didn't even know what he was at this time last year. In fact, I don't think he was a Buckeye till June, right? Maybe it was May, and then he enrolled in June.
He committed after spring ball.
And he was shaky early in the season, I thought, started to play well. I mean, he is really bulked up. He looks great. So he's now a third-year starter. He's solidified at left tackle. Donovan Jackson did not play well last year, but now as a senior, third-year starter, I think he's going to play well. Again, center is so much more solidified than when it was last year when Hinsman was just thrown in the fire as a redshirt freshman. Didn't even play center in high school, keep in mind. So his first time taking a snap at center in a real game was for the Ohio State Buckeyes as a redshirt freshman in the opener. And then you got at right guard. I mean, Matt, I mean, he was okay last year, Matt Jones, but he wasn't as good as I thought he would. So, Hensman, you got options there. You got Hensman, Tegra, Luke Montgomery. It's interesting that, Hensman seems like he's leaving spring as the number one. Looks like Tegra is number two. I don't know what happened with Luke Montgomery. He was running with the ones all spring, and then all of a sudden he was the third team right guard. And then you got Josh Fry at right tackle. So, who they had last year as well. Clearly better than what they had last year, but man, I'm greedy. I want an offensive tackle for right tackle, and then to at least push Fryer. And then if that guy beats out Fryer, then Fryer can move down to guard and compete at guard.
Yep, I say Josh Fryer is a great starting right guard. I don't know if I feel great about him at tackle right now. If I'm Ohio State and there's a potential tackle in the portal that could come in and start for me, I would take him, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. That's the last like big question mark on the roster for me still. We've talked about this repeatedly before too. First of all, I wish Tegra had lived up to his recruiting billing. This is a guy who's a top 40 player or whatever, and it hasn't come through for him, which is just too bad. But at the end of the day, you need a big right tackle on this line. You know, Fryer will be fine. He'll be even, quote, solid. But it's not a situation where I feel superb about him to come in and be the starter again, because I think he's kind of at his ceiling. We've kind of seen what he has, and it's good, but is it good enough whenever you're playing Georgia? That's the question Ohio State has to ask now, because we're not worried about Josh Fryer against Indiana, right? We're not worried about against Josh Fryer against Michigan State. We're worried about him against number, you know, 5 or number 10 or whoever, right? We're worried about him against Michigan. We're worried him against Oregon. Those are the teams that we're talking about here. That's what this conversation is he good enough to beat those teams? And the big question right now for I think a lot of us is that he's not. So if there's a right tackle out there, if there is a tackle out there, and everybody's talking about the Boston College kid, I'd love to see him, but he's a left tackle and Simmons is a left tackle. So I don't know if that's necessarily the fit that we would like it to be, as Simmons has sort of clearly solidified himself into a good enough starting role for us. Do I think Simmons is going to be Paris Johnson? No, but I think he's more than good enough at the level that we need him to be at his position. So if a right tackle's out there, yes, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think Ohio State would take that player if that player appeared. But the question is that player out there? And, you know, and it's not like Caden Proctor's walking through the door here or something. So I think at this point, if the right player's there, Ohio State certainly would go after him. I just don't know if that right player is going to hit the portal.
We'll talk some NFL draft in a moment. I do want to ask you about Tavian St. Clair. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. It's like he just keeps – everything he does, he just keeps raising his stock, raising his stock, raising his stock, raising his stock. It's like everything. Oh, by the way, he was the most impressive at this camp. Oh, he just got the – invite to Elite 11. It's just now he's ranked as the number two quarterback. This isn't new. This was updated like I think a few months ago, number two quarterback in the nation, number six overall player in the nation. Pretty nice to have that right down the road in Bell Fountain, near the highest point in Ohio, by the way, near Mad River Mountain, where you're the highest point in Ohio, one of the flattest states in our great country. But and we got some hills, you know, we got some hills down like, you know, in
the east side,
Ohio,
the Great Plains start in Columbus, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus is flat as heck, but whatever. I digress there. But yeah, right near Mad River Mountain, you got Tavian St. Clair. I just love it, man. Everything he does, they call it like it's like he's got like helium, as they say. You know, everything he does, he continues to build helium. So I'm so impressed with this young man.
You know, we're doing a really good job mining Northwest Ohio and sort of the more rural areas in our big sports lately. We're getting Tavian St. Clair out of Bell Fountain. We're going out to Ottawa Glandorf to land basketball players. I mean, I love it when Ohio pops out these gems like this. The reason Ohio State football is Ohio State football is Ohio high school football historically. And as I've always said, if Michigan wasn't next door, they'd be Minnesota by now. So I love it when a kid like Tavian St. Clair pops the way he is. And to be honest, he's perhaps the highest rated quarterback prospect to come out of the state of Ohio ever. I mean, this is a big time prospect. Think about it. Who's the highest rated in the modern recruiting era? Who's the highest rated quarterback to come out of Ohio? Justin Zwick?
I was going to say Zwick was super highly rated, and it didn't take her off, though, if you remember, at the end. Mm-hmm. He was a little, had a shaky senior year at Maslin, then the All-Star games were not looking good, which is why Tressel's like, we got to get another quarterback just in case.
Zwick's biggest impact was he was the centerpiece of that great recruiting class. Yes. I think was second in the country. Jay-Z committed early, and that was a class that was like Claret, Hawk, Carpenter, Mangold, Santonio Holmes. It was an unreal recruiting class. I'm sure I'm missing a couple others because that's how damn good it was. And they all went because Zwick was here. So I can never hate on Jay-Z, even if he didn't pan out for that 5-star rating. But Tavian St. Clair, like you, yeah, and he stuck around the whole career. Stuck around the whole career. So Tavian St. Clair is a guy that is, though, the trajectory is straight through the roof on him. He's everything you look for in the modern quarterback prospect when it comes to athletic ability, being able to make all the throws. This is a big-time kid. This is a big-time kid. In fact, I would say if I had to put his potential compared to everybody on the roster right now, he's more big-time than any kid we've signed, including the 2 5-stars this year. I think Tavian St. Clair long-term is a bigger prospect than Sayan or Noland. So, yeah, he's going to be a very interesting player to watch. Now, is he going to come to Ohio State and start right away? I don't think so. He's not going to enroll early next year and win the starting job. That's the next impossible task for almost anyone. But this is a big-time prospect, folks, and he's in our backyard, and Ohio State was smart enough to lock him up early. Because if you remember, there was a big conversation about, do they take Montgomery or St. Clair? Do they take Montgomery or St. Clair? Do they take Montgomery or St. Clair? And Montgomery, by the way, committed to Georgia recently. So it's not like he was a bum prospect either.
Right. Right.
So, it's a pretty good year for quarterbacks in Ohio.
All right. I'm going to try to look as cool as Bax now. Get my Gooder sunglasses on. I want to tell you guys, you can get free shipping from this awesome company. You guys got to check it out. Got to go to Gooder.com. Check it out. I love their sunglasses. Why do I love them? They're 100% polarized. They start at just $25. Most of their sunglasses are $25. I think they're like 25. I think the most expensive ones are 35. I love sunglasses. I hate dropping a lot of money on sunglasses because I know at some point I'm probably going to lose them. But if I drop $25 on them, I get 3 at a time when I get Gooder sunglasses. So if I lose one, I don't like losing $25. I don't like losing a Gooder sunglass, but better than losing a $200 pair of sunglasses. So I think they look great. They're affordable. Again, I don't worry about losing them or breaking them. They're always releasing new colors and designs, so you can lay low or get wild. I love their names, like Back Nine Blackout, Flamingos on a Booze Cruise, Donkey Goggles. These are Professor Double OG. Professor Double OG. There you go. So if you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving Bucknuts Morning 5 listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/bucknuts. And use code BUCKNUTS for free shipping. Gooder.com/BUCKNUTS. Use code BUCKNUTS for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's Gooder.com/BUCKNUTS. And use code BUCKNUTS for free shipping. Bam. All right. NFL draft tomorrow. I read his piece on – it's one thing when I see one of these mock drafts and it's one guy's opinion and he has like somebody going ahead of Marvin that's a wide receiver. I'm like, okay, idiot. And Malik Nabers is very, very good. Let's be clear about that. This guy is not a scrub. He's going to be really, really good in the NFL. People are saying he's got like Tyreek Hill type burst. I mean, you don't say that lightly if you're an NFL scout. But yesterday, The Athletic quoted a lot of anonymous, and you can say, oh, not anonymous, but they're front office guys, and Bruce Feldman did the story. Bruce Feldman is solid. These are not made up sources. The majority of these guys, not all of them, the majority of these guys, you know, said, wait, maybe 70% of them, said that they would take Nabers over Harrison. And it's like, what has happened? It's like, and they all mentioned something about, we don't know about his speed and all this. And we don't necessarily believe Ohio State when they say he runs 23 miles per hour. It's like, did you guys not watch the film? And again, Nabers' film is good too, but it's just crazy. After the season ended, everybody said Harrison was definitely WR1. Now the underwear Olympics happen. Harrison sits that out. Nabers looks good in the underwear Olympics. Now all of a sudden you have guys that are saying Nabers over Harrison. We'll find out tomorrow. I don't know. As Dan Rubin says, almost like offends me. It shouldn't, but it does, you know?
It's all a game. You know who put the Feldman up to writing that article and got him all that info from those guys? Somebody drafting between 6 and 10 that's hoping Marv falls to them. let's be real honest. What goes on this time of year? A lot of subterfuge, a lot of undermining. I'm going to be in Detroit this weekend, okay? Because I'm headed up for hockey with my son. I'll be downtown, and I'm going to go to the draft myself. I'm going to be there watching the Steelers win the draft like usual, okay? And let me tell you, Marvin Harrison's totally going to fall to the Steelers. No, of course not. But that's what's going on here is it's just guys that are trying to manipulate the draft position, right? If number one rule is if you find out that somebody is shitting on a player, it means they're secretly hoping that player falls to them.
Like CJ Stroud last year.
CJ Stroud's so dumb, he can't make 2 + 2 = 4. CJ Stroud's a damn rookie of the year. Of course, this is the shit that goes on.
Yeah, and extremely smart. Yes.
Yeah. Like, come on. Marv is going to be the number one player that's not a quarterback off the board. There's no question in my mind. It's blatantly obvious. And guess what? Water finds its level. Marv, after we'll find out how many quarterbacks people have to take at the top of the draft first, even though I'm not sold on any of these guys. The reality is, you know what's going to happen? Next will be Marv. Whoever it is, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, Marv will be up there. I have no doubt he's the number one receiver. And if he isn't the number one receiver, it's one of the dumber things that I'll have ever seen in the NFL draft. So I guess never say never, because some real idiots run some of these teams.
We get to find out tomorrow. I can't wait. I love the NFL draft. It's my favorite sporting event that doesn't involve an actual sport being played. You know, like you could talk about like Selection Sunday or like NHL draft for you, you know, or something. The NBA or the NFL draft, I just absolutely love it.
It's the best draft. And it's the best draft because everybody knows the players already so intimately from their college careers, right? Like the NHL draft, yep. I'm like, ooh, I hope the Jackets win the lottery and get Macklin Celebrini. And everybody else is like, who?
It's like the NBA draft. I used to like the NBA draft when I was a kid because it would be like a bunch of college players I knew, you know? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, what? Like, who are these guys? Like, it's mostly like guys coming from European leagues or, you know, straight from high school. So, G League. Actually, they're doing away with G League Ignite, but stuff like that where I haven't even heard of a lot of those guys. But, all right, I know you got to get out of here. But, yeah, NFL draft tomorrow. Absolutely can't wait. Great stuff from Bax. I'll actually be with you guys again tomorrow. Dan Rubin's going to be off for the next few days, so I'll be with you tomorrow. Thanks again to Bax. Thanks to all of you. Really appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Go Bucks.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable. They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.